now convene the May 10, 2011 special magistrate proceedings for the City of Daytona Beach. Will those representatives for the city who will be testifying this morning's proceedings please step forward and be sworn?
Do you solemnly swear to the testimony you're about to provide, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
I have reviewed the minutes of the special magistrate hearing on March 24, 2011 and approved them. I have reviewed the minutes of the April 12, 2011 special magistrate hearing and approved them as well. With that, we will proceed directly to this morning's agenda, starting with case number one, Halifax Wrecking Company Incorporated, Robert Klenk.
Morning.
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 He may. But.
All right. Case number one indicates it's in compliance.
That is correct.
Correct.
How's that to start your day?
10 minutes just to read through it all. All right, then we'll proceed to case number two.
We believe
we take a determination of compliance or non-compliance. So let me back up and give other numbers. Do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
We've taken substantial actions to correct the items cited, so I'm not sure which ones existed or did not exist. We believe we need to get an identification of what needs to be completed and then a reasonable time to correct them. So we'll go with non-compliance, but we need to know what items the city still requires us to correct or believes are not in compliance. Because we believe we're close to compliance on the northerly property also, where that it can be achieved relatively simply.
Okay. Is this yet a third case?
No.
No, it's two cases, the north side and the south side.
All right, so this is still, and this is the north side?
We are talking about the north side now, yes.
Correct. Yes.
So it's the same two cases, but with regard to the north side, we never did reach the point of compliance or non-compliance.
Correct.
All right, and the south side's been taken care of?
Yes, it has.
All right, so now we're focusing our attentions on the north side, and if I'm hearing you, you're in non-compliance, but you're looking for clarification regarding the matters to be addressed and then the time to come into compliance.
That would be a correct statement, sir.
Okay, then based on the respondent's statements, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. And with that, let me turn to our inspector. Mr. Inspector, taking into consideration Council's suggestion that some of this work's been done already. Mm-hmm. Are you able to tell him what specifically you're looking to have done and how much time, and then tell me how much time do you think would reasonably be required to come into compliance in your opinion?
Okay. I've been briefed by Inspector Garcia, and he believes that if we amend to the July cutoff, he should be able to get with the property owner and they should be able to bring the property into compliance.
That's July 6, 2011 for everyone's information. All right, what say the respondent?
That didn't address the issue. The issue is I need to know.
No, he's definitely going to.
Yeah, you guys can do that elsewhere.
Correct.
Okay.
That's good.
Mr. Klenk had asked for 3 months. It wasn't my private session with him outside. So I'm not sure that 2 months is going to complete. I'm not sure if we're going to need to apply for any new permits or licenses from the
just for my edification, why don't we back up and give me some context here. What are the types? I'm not looking for a specific list. You and council can work that out later. But for my benefit, what are the types of things that we're looking to have done over the course of the next 2 months?
I'm sorry. There will better be
Ms. McCallister, I think another inspector, in fact, there's two other inspectors have been working on this case up to this point. So, Ms.
Yeah, there basically, there were some issues with regard to painting a building, maintaining a fence, a structure was in poor condition. Those items have all been corrected. And I'm just going off the list of the items that are recited in the
Let's do that. I've got this list here, and first off, there's a fair amount of redundancy in this list, which I've already deleted. I'm sorry, not trying to failure to conform to zoning requirements, that's too broad for me to appreciate. Occupational license, I assume that's not going to happen until you're in compliance.
That'd be correct.
Failure to remove inoperative unlicensed vehicles from property. Is that done or?
No, that is not done.
Okay. Failure to remove rubbish and garbage from property.
Which don't exist.
That needs to be corrected.
Failure to maintain in good repair accessory structures, including fence and including former 504 Live Oak Avenue accessory building.
We believe that's been corrected.
All right. Now, you had a tree fell or something.
Apparently, a tree is. It got corrected that a tree fell over the fence, and now we need to repair that where the tree hit the fence.
Okay. Failure to cut tall grass, weeds, and remove debris.
We still need to do more of that.
Needs some work.
And then when you get through the redundant items, which I've already stricken through on mine, we come down to failure to paint exterior wall.
Has been corrected.
Very good. All right. Well, and so you're telling me that you would prefer the August 3, 2011 cutoff.
Actually, I would not prefer that because I am set on vacation the week that the hearing would be. So I would be out of town that, I think it would be August 8th would probably be when your hearing would be.
August 9th.
Okay, and I'll be on vacation. So we'd request till September. We have made substantial work on obviously the south lot, and we have been working on the north lot.
Let's say the city.
City doesn't have a problem with that.
And I'll even as long as there's
continued progress, the inspector will definitely be.
That's fine.
Touch with you closely on that.
We have not ignored this project for.
And then that's what I was going to say. It's been a long haul, and even seeing the bottom, the south property, reaching the clients, they've been working at it just as they promised, and we don't have any reason to doubt that they'll get everything done as they promised.
All right, well, based on the presentations by the parties, I'm going to go ahead and order the respondent to come into compliance by September 7, 2011. Or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Very good. Good luck.
Have a good day. Thanks.
Thank you. Case number 3, Lisa McCarthy. Anyone here for the respondent? Not seeing a respondent. Let's say the city.
That's compliance 5-5.
Very good. Case number 4, Lodoro Properties Incorporated. Anyone here for the respondent? Let's say the city.
The property is vacant. It is secure. There's no more parking in the yard. The outside storage has been cleared. The damaged fencing has been removed. Outside of getting inside, I can't tell about the other violations, but it's unoccupied. It's vacant and secure. I was caring for yesterday. Right.
So,
I'm sorry. Okay.
And did the respondent take it upon itself to secure the property as opposed to coming into compliance?
Yes.
Or was this something the city suggested or what?
She took it upon herself to secure.
There was a running fine for the failing to secure that was imposed March 2nd, $50 per day. So now that we'll stop that as of yesterday then.
Okay. And then, all right, well, we still have an ongoing case here.
Right. There was a two-part order.
And I'm supposed to confirm the compliance there.
Yes, there's been no contact with the property owner since the last hearing. The only change is that the tenants moved out and they've secured the property.
So we've taken care of the parking in the yard.
Mm-hmm.
We've taken care of the outside storage.
Mm-hmm.
We've taken care of the dilapidated fencing.
Correct.
We don't know about the broken windows and doors. Looks like everything's just boarded up and locked in.
Correct.
We don't know anything about the electrical installation.
No,
sir. Plumbing hazard. I guess exterior surfaces. I don't know what that means.
Dirt and grime. You need to do some spot painting on the south side of the building.
Interior surfaces. We have peeling paint. I assume we still don't have a rental license. Okay.
Correct.
So all that having been said, how much time would it take for the respondent to come into compliance?
I would say next cutoff, given the fact I have no contact.
Then, based on our inspector's report, and given the absence of the not hearing from the respondent, I will order the respondent to come into compliance by June 8, 2011, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 5. Sit back and relax. The Bank of New York Mellon, formerly known as the Bank of New York, is trustee for the Certificate Holders Alternative Loan Trust 2006-HY11, Mortgage Pass-Through Certificate Series 2006-H11, and Al Doreen Jafrudi. Anyone here on behalf of that respondent? I thought I'd brought a small crowd. In any event. Okay. And I have not seen a respondent. It's better to see in position to find. Let's say the city.
Currently, the property is vacant. It's secure. I've had no other contact with the property owner. Those are the only changes. It is vacant and secure. We would like to ask for $50 a day for the other violations.
And is this a single-family residence?
Yes.
Owner-occupied?
No.
Non-owner-occupied. All right. Respondent, having failed to come into compliance, I hereby order respondent be fined the sum of $50 per day, commencing May 4, 2011, and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the fine has reached the sum of $15,000, whichever occurs first. Case number 6, James E. Jelks and Alice Nate Jelks. Anyone here for the respondent?
That's compliance 5-9.
Case number 7, Asher and Leah Moriusif. Anyone here for the respondent? Let's say the city.
There has been no contact. So impose the one-time fine of $250. Still no license.
Okay, the respondent having failed to come into compliance, I order the imposition of the $250 administrative fee for failure to obtain an occupational license. Is that a fine or a fee I'm imposing, just out of curiosity?
One-time fine.
Fine? I hereby order the respondent paid the $250 fine for failure to obtain occupational license. Case number 8, David M. Schweigish.
That's compliance 413.
Did you say 413?
Yes.
Case number 9, Charles Holtzclaw.
That's compliance 428.
Case number 10, Luis P. Webb.
I'd like to speak on that case if I may, sir. On case number 9.
Not up. Sir, would you state your name?
Sure. Chris Dawn, 132 Pierce Avenue. I live on this street. Yes, sir. I'm very confused. This house has had a lot of problems with graffiti, which code was notified of, and yet this has not been brought forward in this case. I don't know if you have any pictures of it. It's a hobo camp. I don't even believe there's utilities such as water or electricity. So people are urinating and defecating in the yards. It's a nuisance property, and all that's being brought forward is no rental license. Thank you.
Well, hang on. Hold on. Get you some answers.
Okay.
Okay, have you reported this to the city?
Yes, I have documentation.
Okay, well, I appreciate the documentation. Who have you reported it to?
To Mr. Stinson,
okay.
To the police department, to Sergeant Miller.
No? So what, if anything, do we know about what the gentleman's complaining?
The graffiti he's speaking about is actually on the 216 property. 216 owns the actual fence with the graffiti on it.
Okay.
To my knowledge, 215 does have utility services,
okay,
meaning water. Strangely enough, you don't have to have power to live in the house, but you do have to have water. And that's pretty much the end of that case.
All right. Well, I don't know if you're satisfied, but there's some answers for you.
Okay. So why hasn't 216 been written up for the graffiti?
Well, I guess if you reported it to the city in time, it will be.
It takes more than a month for action?
Don't be pushy.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So anyway, I take it you're aware of 216?
Yes.
Okay. There you go.
Thank you.
Okay, I think we were on Louise P. Webb.
Okay. Number 10, complaints, 411.
Case number 11, Harvinder S. and Kishida K. Chata.
Hi.
Ishita Chada. Yes.
All right. I assume we still have non-compliance, Mr. Inspector?
Today we're going to put them in compliance pending their final inspection, which they do have scheduled. Actually, for today.
So
technically, yes, they're in non-compliance next cutoff, but should be in compliance by the end of the day.
Then I will order the respondent. Did you want to be heard? I'll get ready to take care of it.
We have everything done.
Anyone their opportunity to come say what
they I have nothing to say. I have nothing to say. We got everything taken care of. There was a lot of confusion, but everything's taken care of, and I hope they don't find any more problems now.
Well, let me scare you, but we're just going to go through the formalities of giving you all the way till June 8th anyway. If
okay.
you don't have it done by then we'd be fining you.
Okay.
But it sounds as though you've already got everything under control.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. All right. Based on the presentation of the city as well as the respondent, going to amend our previous order of non-compliance to allow the respondent until June 8, 2011 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of the imposition of the $250 administrative fine.
Oh, this is for compliance.
I'm sorry. Should the respondent fail to come into compliance, to be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of the fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Yes.
So
all right. With regard to the new cases, the Eula Lee Park Life Estate, I have as compliance. Adrienne Joan Ross, I have as being in compliance. Sharon and Shoshana Ofer, I have as being in compliance. Which brings me up to case 15, Douglas E. Davis Jr. Anyone here for the respondent? If you would please step forward.
Eula Hart.
Eula Hart? According to what I have, you've already done everything you're supposed to do. Sorry you traveled down here, but you're already taken care of.
Good morning.
Good morning. What's that?
Your name, sir?
Douglas E. Davis.
Right.
All right.
Do you
testimony
about to provide
to
the truth?
Yes, I do.
Yes, sir, you... Okay. No occupational license for rental property. Do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Do I what? I'm sorry.
Do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation? In other words, you failed to obtain an occupational license for rental property?
Well, what it was is I had talked to one of the inspectors, Dave Houlihan, and asked him for an extension, and he told me that I can have an extra couple of weeks, which is going to bring me up into tomorrow. And I have an inspection coming up tomorrow. And what it was is I didn't talk to the other Mr. Stenson. I didn't talk to him and notify him of that. But I wasn't aware that I had, you know, I thought the left hand was in contact with the right. But then I found out, okay, I've got to call him too. So I did call him, and now we have an inspection for tomorrow. So, and everything is okay. I'm ready for it, and that's pretty much it.
Pretty much. All right, well, don't be spooked by it, but let me take care of my paperwork. Okay, based on the testimony presented, I find the respondent to be in noncompliance. Order the respondent to come into compliance by June 8, 2011, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of the imposition of the $250 administrative fine for failure to obtain occupational license. So in any event, once you finish out what you already have in place, we'll put a notice of compliance in the file, and that'll be the end. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Cheers.
Case number 16, Andrew Casabon.
Good morning.
State
your name and
your right hand,
please. Sure, my name is Cynthia Casabian.
You solemnly swear to the testimony you're about to provide, that you're the only person on the
truth? Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
I'm a little confused about that. Now, the violation is an apparent standard violation. Is that correct?
Mr. Attorney?
The reason for my confusion is because I received the beautification award from the city, so to get an appearance standard violation is a bit odd to me. I work very hard on my yard and have for a long time. So I don't agree with the violation. Or that I have a dead tree. What I have is called a snag, and it's a habitat. But it's not just a dead tree. I have pictures I'd like to show you as well. I realize Mr. Stenson took some pictures.
First off, what is a snag?
A snag is a tree that is used for wildlife habitat. I have the National Wildlife Federation definition for a snag. It is the name of a dead tree that is left upright to decompose naturally to be used for the breeding of birds so they can nest in it so that other animals can reap the food from it. In the midst of a wildlife habitat.
What is the wildlife that's occupying your dead tree just out of curiosity?
Well, yeah, please, could you, these are the two of my tree that you could give to him. And here are some of the pictures of the wildlife. I have for the last 3 years been documenting and blogging about the wildlife that nest on my property. I have red-headed woodpeckers. I have red, let's see, what are they called? They have a different name, red-cocked. I pronounce it wrong all the time. Hang on just a second. Red-cocked woodpecker, which happens to be on the endangered species list, by the way. I didn't start off bringing that bird to my tree. I started off providing all of them with something, and as I planted vegetation and plants to create the wildlife habitat in the whole yard, they found the tree about 3 years ago and have nested in it every year ever since. I have blue heron that come every year and nest. I have one of them nests in that tree. The reason for the vines on the tree, and there used to be a lot more vines on the tree, except the property owner at 147, which is right next door, took it upon himself to cut down hundreds of dollars worth of vegetation on my property twice. So recouping that is taking some time. I also have pictures to show when this tree actually became an issue to the city. The neighbor at 147 Kingston had asked when he bought the property if he could remove the branches on his side. We said, absolutely. There's nothing wrong with that. If you get a licensed, insured tree service, you can have them removed. We didn't have an issue, anything on his side. He didn't do that. He didn't maintain his property for 3 years. It's been in code violation probably somewhere around 85% of the time. And now I'd like you to look at these pictures, because this is what he chose to do to the tree instead. He chose to my tree. He chose twice to build, which is, you have to see the picture because no one believed me, and it is worth a thousand words. Twice, once with ropes and once with, no one has been able to figure out what it was he was doing, built a contraption on the roof of his house with 2x4s to the tree, proceeded to hang on it, swing from it.
The contraption to your tree?
Yes.
Does your tree overhang his property?
Some of it. And he was welcome to remove the branches that were on his side. Now, an issue is that that chain link fence you see is on my property, and there is approximately 10 to 12 inches that are over the fence that are also my property. And Mr. Walker, who owns the property next door, doesn't seem to have any respect for a property line or what I've invested. He's chopped down my landscaping. He's put Roundup on it to kill it and burn it. He has not maintained his property in 3.5 years. And the issue of the tree is Mr. Walker's issue. And at any time, Mr. Walker is welcome, like I said, to get a tree company to remove them on his side. But my attorney advised, after the damage that was done, to not go to that side of the tree and become also liable for anything that happens. He has damaged my fence with removing branches. He just pulls them out of the... If you look at the tree when it doesn't have vine on it, you can see that we have had a tree company over the years come and remove sections that were of hazard. And we continue to have it. We only have three trees.
Did your neighbor build this contraption?
Yeah, yeah.
Just for the sake of accessing
the tree? Absolutely.
Because I can't understand what other architectural or construction purposes serve.
Absolutely. That was his only reason to was to attack the tree.
And in doing so, did he ever cross your property line?
Absolutely.
Call the police?
Absolutely. I have been calling the police. He rarely shows up at his property, but when he does, there's usually some incident of him tearing down my landscape or whatever, and I have had to call the police on numerous occasions to respond to this gentleman. He doesn't do anything in a logical manner at all, and frankly, I'm not sure he's balanced.
He's definitely got way too much time on his hands. All right, let's get back to the tree for a moment.
Certainly.
What is the current health of the tree? Is it a dead tree?
You know, there are branches that grow out of it. So is it completely dead? I'm not an arborist. I'm a master gardener, but I'm not an arborist.
Okay, well, do you have any concern that this tree is going to land on your house or something?
Absolutely not. And if I did, because it's very solid. It's a very large tree, and it's very, very, very solid. And we have, like I said, had a friend who comes and helps my husband, and they have removed any branch that if we notice it's getting too bad, we take care of it. We take care of all the trees that overhang.
Let me ask you something else. I apologize for interrupting, but I have some specific things that are kind of piquing my curiosity here.
Certainly.
Are there any kind of rules or regulations that come into play with regard to this tree, given the wildlife that you've described that utilizes it?
Yes.
What would they do?
They're protected by the Endangered Species Act, and I question...
What's protected by the Endangered Species
Act? The tree. Because the birds are nesting in that tree, it is protected, and it falls under the jurisdiction. Correct. It falls, to my understanding, under the jurisdiction of the Fish and Wildlife, because if you would show him this first part. I printed it off of their website, off the government website. And I'm not sure if you had the opportunity to see the news journal, but the news journal just did an article because the state wildlife is actually going to overhaul the species protection program.
What kind of tree is
it? I believe that it would be called the live oak. Okay, so it's a bit of a contradicting term. But I think the biggest issue is my neighbor. He wants me to do something for him. I mean, he does nothing to his property. It was a habitable house, and it has now not been habitated for years and probably won't be able to be for a little bit. And he waits for an inspector to come, and he rakes the leaves on the roof and leaves them in a pile where they're sitting right now. So when the wind blows, they blow in my yard, and I get to clean it up. He has no respect, not for property, not for his, not for mine. Here are the birds that they're going to add to that list, which is, with any luck, going to include the little blue herons in the picture I showed you that also nest in the tree. I have also submitted, and it costs a great deal of money to do that, my application to be a certified wildlife habitat. And I meet the criteria because of that tree. We've worked to put in a pond in the back. I have two red-shouldered hawks that nest in the tree in the back. I have
Section 9 of this act prohibits unauthorized taking, possession, sale, and transport of all endangered species or destruction of their habitat. Is it your testimony that that tree is a habitat for this species?
It is.
That's your testimony under oath?
Absolutely. And I was hoping, I had a neighbor, but he must have had to work, who stood outside a couple of days ago and watched the little woodpecker as he was feeding one of the babies in a nest. It's really kind of, I don't know. I don't have much of a life. I enjoy the birds and in the yard.
Okay, sure.
Yes, it's called Cindy's Menagerie.
Specific.
Absolutely. The species, the tree,
My progress on being certified as a wildlife habitat, absolutely it is. My dad was a ranger, so it's kind of in my blood to take care of the environment, and I noticed that Daytona doesn't have it as a priority on their list. The herons have been coming for about 5 or 6 years. The woodpeckers we notice because they're tiny. I have several different species of woodpecker that come. The big one, the medium one, the little one. I have them all over the yard. But the one that's endangered is a fairly small one, and it's black and white. And to see it, it takes a little bit because we've got the vine there. The vine protects it so when the hawk decides she wants to sit in the tree, she can't see where the woodpecker's nest is.
Okay, let me switch gears for a moment. What is the nature of the violation that we're talking about here? Is it just aesthetics?
Just the dead tree.
Yeah, just aesthetics. It is just the tree. I can speak to it from the perspective of the ordinance itself. It's an appearance standard. The ordinance requires that it gives a list of things that includes all dead tree limbs and dead trees shall be removed as part of a minimum appearance standard under Section 4.4. We have no definitions that would take us to the place of considering dead tree by appearance that has other useful properties such as a habitat or those types of things that she's described.
That tree was also cited by the city.
That's not addressed in this area of our ordinance, and I don't believe it's addressed anywhere in our ordinance. So that would, if I could ask one thing, we didn't clarify Ms.
Cassavant
relationship to the property, obviously. She
I'm the wife of Andrew Cassian.
That's all I have.
You wanted to say something else?
Well, I just wanted to say that that tree, my notorious tree, which seems to be so important, was cited 6 months ago. And then it was in compliance. And I'm not quite sure how it was in compliance 6 months ago, and it's not in compliance now. I have a picture of a dead tree, pretty much looks like my dead tree, which is also in up the street from me.
A little far afield. Now you're losing my interest. I don't need to
okay,
see that.
Good.
I don't need to see that. I don't need to hear about previous notices of
good
compliance. I'm not really even interested in your neighbor. The fact he's got some interesting construction ideas. The question here is whether that's a dead tree, and the other question is whether or not there aren't some regulations out there that might come into play when it comes to destruction of a wildlife habitat. I have no reason to disbelieve you when you tell me this is a wildlife habitat, plus you provided photographic evidence of it. I don't know, and I don't, while it appears to be a dead tree, I see a lot of growth on it, and I see a lot of wildlife hanging out on it, and I don't know for certain that it is a dead tree. I haven't heard anybody suggest to me this tree is a light safety issue or a health issue. I can only assume you're prudent enough to know that that tree over time may need
more trimming.
Trimming and what have you. But that's your own liability concern. That's not specifically mine. And once again, this isn't being brought to me because of a life safety issue. It's being brought to me because of an appearance issue. Well, Tony, did you want me to go ahead and make my ruling, or do you want an opportunity to study the Endangered Species Act?
No, we're
otherwise, I'm ready to make a decision.
No, we're already making one.
Okay, I'm denying the notice of violation.
Thank you.
We'll point out it was a complaint driven.
And next time the complaint is driven, let's bring the neighbor in here. I'll be happy to talk to him too.
That would be very nice. I don't know why he never appears before you.
Well, you know, the thing about it is, sometimes when y'all just get together and air these things out and chat and let people know what they do and can't do, or maybe give them an answer to along the way as far as some of the questions or misunderstandings they have, and maybe it kind of helps to settle folks down, but whatever.
Good luck with that. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, and here's all your materials back.
Oh, great. Thank you so much. Pardon me? I try to give a little bit back.
Now, for whatever it's worth, let's not taunt your neighbor.
Oh, I don't. Trust me, we avoid him.
Nope,
we're all just, we're a little confused considering what he has going on next door, that the tree was the issue.
Let's watch our tree and take care of our birds and move on down the road.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Case number 17, Adonis Sylvester and Evelyn R. Lockley. Anyone here for the respondent? If not, what say the city?
This is non-compliance, next cutoff. They're trying to sell that property. I've been in contact with the realtor. The realtor has attempted to get the bank to assist him in fixing this problem. He says that the bank refuses. They want to sell it as is. And I informed him of our process and how difficult it may be in the future if they don't do something. Mm-hmm. However, nothing's happened. So, non-compliance, next cutoff.
Based on our inspector's report and given the absence of the respondent, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance and order the respondent to go into compliance by June 8, 2011 or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 18, Philip Woodham. Anyone here for the respondent?
Yes.
Yes. Philip E. Woodham.
Okay, Mr. Woodham, do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, sir.
All right, then I find the respondent in non-compliance. Mr. Inspector, how much time do you think would reasonably be required for the respondent to come into compliance?
I would say the July cutoff, he's got a lot of work to do over there. He's got to replace screens. It's a lot of ground to cover. He's got roof work that needs to be done. He has to paint pretty much everything. So, yeah.
Peeling, paint exterior walls, roof, stairs, windows, exterior doors, and screens. All right, Mr. Woodham, the inspector seems to think you ought to be able to have this work done by July 6, 2011. What do you say? How much time do you think would reasonably be required to take care of the work you need to do to come into compliance?
I am under contract with Joe's Affordable Painting to help do some of this. Or he's going to start Monday, actually, this coming Monday. What other? Oh, that roof.
The roof over unit 4.
Over unit.
Rear unit to the rear. Northeast side.
Could I have till July?
He's already suggested July.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said July. June. Okay. Yes, sir.
All right. Well, July 6th. What's the day? Today's the 10th. So that's just a few days shy of 2 months.
Okay. Yes, sir.
All right. Then let's go with that. And that way we'll keep your feet to the fire, so to speak. And if you run into problems because of things happening, and they always do when it comes to construction, your inspector will be your best friend if you end up running over.
Okay.
So just please let him know what's going on or what's holding you up.
Okay.
All right. I will order the respondent to come into compliance by July 6, 2011, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Very good. And if you don't know already, when you have the work done, you have to call the inspector. He comes out there, does his final inspection, puts a notice of compliance in the file, and then that's the end of it. If you're in compliance on time. Like I say, if it looks like you're going to run over, let him know, keep him posted, and he'll be the first one to suggest that I allow additional time. Good luck to you.
Thank you. Can I call you?
All right, that concludes our regular agenda. Do we have any miscellaneous business to be brought before the special magistrate? No? Nope. Okay.
Oh, awesome. Did we have new people, old people, stuff you didn't tell them last time?
New people.
Oh, yeah.
Alderman.
Alderman,
yeah.
It's Alderman. He's tired.
Well, he left. I don't know.
He's tired.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't know.
I see our car dealership on Beach Street, so it's way to becoming an ACLF.
Oh, I know. Good milk.
Nice article in the paper.
But Lisa's
nice article
in
the paper.
But at least Lisa's a focus
on
making progress.
I see it.
Very proud.
Is this going to be our average agenda length from here on out, or are we?
Actually, no. Next month is going to be much higher.
The prize stuff?
Yes.
What now?
The Daytona Prowl. There's going to be more violations. It looks pretty. There's a lot more new cases.
All right. Well, historically, I've planned on setting aside the morning, so I guess I'll just keep doing that for the time being.
Right. I don't know if it's going to get to the point where we may have to set a special meeting, depending on how many cases there are. I don't know at this point, but it's definitely picking up. For next month's going to be more. I know for sure right now. I don't know.
I'll just keep setting aside the morning. All right. Anything else anyone wants to get off their chest?